What is up? Welcome back to another episode of Staked Podcast. We are live right now on East Corner. For those of you who don't know, Staked Podcast originally started off as a YouTube live video. So I go live on my YouTube channel. You guys can go there, youtube.com/Eduardo Lima. And whenever I don't have an interview, I record the episodes live. Just me and my thoughts and, talking about crypto, talking about macro, talking about whatever's on my mind. Today is, let's get into the stats. Sunday, December 6th. Beautiful 5 a.m. morning. My son woke me up, and I think my girlfriend's trying to get him back asleep right now, so that's why I'm trying to keep my voice down. But we must go look at DCR data. Hello to everyone in the chat room, all one of you. Thank you for tuning in. Big week for Decred, and we're just going to run through these stats. We're at proposed block 508,608. Current ticket price is a whopping 179 DCR. 52.82% of all circulating Decred is currently being staked, with the voting rewards down to 0.82. Hash rate sitting at a very nice, very respectable 372 petahashes. And total coin supply is at 12,334,167. With the current exchange rate of Decred being up quite a bit from the last time we recorded, sitting at $26.24. We had a really nice pump this week. It was very interesting. Pumped up to damn near $40. And sitting back down at 25. This is a very respectable place to continue to dollar cost average. But this week just goes to show you that this thing could really take off at any moment. Literally, I just got on Twitter and Checkmate had posted. He has this like ongoing thread slash graphic where he's like marking off different things that Decred's gonna destroy and eat. We recently passed the realized cap, and then, which I think was like at like $22 or something like that. And then the next thing was eat Litecoin's lunch, and that was at like $36 or something like that. And he posted it, and I was like, "What?" I was like, "30." I was like, "No, no way, this didn't." And then I went and checked the price, and it was like $38, and I was like, "Oh, okay, it's happening." But it's not, guys. These things, they come in waves, and it's just about being patient. But you want to be ready. You want to be on that rocket ship whenever it goes off. You don't want to be FOMOing in, you know? So that's why we encourage dollar cost averaging here on Stake Podcast. Hello to the new joiner here on the live. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. So I decided to do this live video kind of on a whim, but kind of not on a whim. Stake Podcast has been going on now for about 4 months. Basically, when I started law school, I started Stake Podcast the exact same day. It's really grown and evolved and kind of started creating a life of its own. A lot of things on my mind right now, as we look towards the end of 2020, I have been very busy preparing for my exams, which are next week. And it's kind of taken my headspace really out of crypto for a while. And also, I caught the vid, as did my girlfriend. And, we both tested positive. And so my son also got sick. And I mean, it's very likely he was also probably positive, but we never got him tested. But we've all recovered. We're all feeling a little bit better, and gotta drink that coffee, that great value, Walmart. That's how we do it here in Oklahoma, y'all. I think Oklahoma has the most Walmarts per capita. I have to look that up, double check. But Sam Walton's from Oklahoma. He has a very good footprint here. Anyways, it's a very serious thing though, guys. Like it's not fun, you know? Like I'm not saying you're gonna die, but be careful out there, okay? I mean, I know everyone, it's become very politicized. It's not fun being sick, no matter what. And that's the one thing you start to realize. Like every time you get sick, you break a finger, you know, I've fucked up my knee before playing basketball. And so when those things happen, it's kind of like this reset where you realize like your health is just so important. Taking care of your body, you know, give yourself the right nutrition, go to the gym, take care of yourself. Lessons from a 27-year-old who hasn't made it yet. Anyways, want to get to what's been on my mind. I want to first start with Decred, right? Because more so than any other project, it's definitely, as I've grown, I've learned to try not to be emotional about investments, but when I first started investing, that was not the case and was very emotional about investments. And Decred was one that I became very emotional about because, you know, you kind of go through this intellectual journey, right? Of investing. And that's really what it is. It's about continual learning and wanting to learn new things and find problems and find solutions to problems. That's what I believe. It's about playing game like chess. Playing the game of markets like chess, being patient, you know, knowing when to attack, knowing when to defend, knowing when to move this piece there and rebalance and all that good stuff, right? And so Decred has such a just a special place in my heart. Behind Bitcoin, it is my second largest holding percentage on a percentage basis. And so there's a real economic incentive there. And I just try to say these things to be full disclosure. But I also want you guys to kind of understand where my mind is and how I'm thinking about things, right? And I had that aha moment after reading the Bitcoin Standard back in 2018. Actually, it was 2017 when I got my hands on it because I got a digital copy of it from Murad, who I really don't know if he watches these. I seriously doubt he does, but like many of you guys know Murad. You guys now probably know that me and Murad went to college together, and he's really been my intellectual, he's been the one I've talked to the most, like guide in this space. That's the word, intellectual guide. I really much admire his brain. And, he's the one who obviously turned me on to Bitcoin and, you know, sound money, et cetera, et cetera. Then he found the D went down the Decred rabbit hole. I followed right behind him. And Decred just has so many great things, whether it be the development, what the developers, or you know, the way they've thought about the game theory behind it, the incentives, the alignment of incentives from the treasury to the proof of work, proof of stake distribution to, you know, trying to create open platforms for people to talk without censorship. Like, right, many of you guys will know recently, I guess Noah had a falling out on one of the less decentralized platforms with some of the devs, and I guess he got censored. I don't really know the story there, but like no one can kick him off Politea, right? No one can keep him from making a proposal. And I think he said as such, he hopes to continue to be involved. And it's just like, that's the gravitas of this project, though. Like, there's something very much here. And the sound money, the privacy, the Decred DEX now. The GUI wallets, the mobile wallets, right? There's just so much value that this project has for what cryptocurrency is all about, what Bitcoin's all about. It's about sovereignty. It's about wealth preservation. It's about returning power to the individual and using technology to empower people. Yeah, that's what it's about. And sorry, my throat's still just like a little dry. So, I mean, I drink coffee in the morning, so you'll hear that every now and then. But investing to me is something I just love to do. I love the game of it. I love having some money, finding something and thinking about the world and trying to solve the jigsaw puzzle of the world and finding things before other people find them, and then using my money to grow my money. It's very exciting. It's very invigorating. It's very exhilarating. And it's like a math competition. You know, it's a battle of the wits, a battle of the intelligences, a battle of understanding of humans. And sorry, let me gather my thoughts. I kind of forgot exactly where I was trying to go with this. Well, I know where I want to go with this, but I just want to make sure I get there chronologically. I really should start outlining before I talk, but it just seems so much like less genuine. And so I found Decred. And Decred stood for a lot of good things. But I never stopped looking, right? I never stopped searching for alpha. I always knew that as the space matured, that more opportunities were going to come up. And I always knew that we were very early in 2018. And like, essentially at that time, nothing was guaranteed except for Bitcoin, in my opinion. I kind of think we're hitting a turning point, though. I think that although there's still really nothing guaranteed except for Bitcoin, in my opinion, a lot of other things are starting to cement themselves as like being irreplaceable. You know, like they might not. We talk about the fat protocol thesis, right? Some people have heard of the thin protocol thesis, but really all people are trying to do is figure out, where is value going to get captured in this space? Like, where does that value lie? Is that the application layer? Is it at the base layer? What breaks? How does that, you know, how does that distribution break down? Does Bitcoin take 98% of all the value? Or, you know, is it some Pareto-like distribution of, you know, 70, 30, 20, 10 long tail? 60, 30, you know what I'm saying. And we don't know. We don't know the answer to that. I have my thoughts. I kind of have always believed that there'll probably be like 3 to 5 dominant chains, public blockchains, Bitcoin being the, you know, the one. And then I later came to believe that Decred and possibly Monero, or maybe something like Zcash, but I don't think Zcash anymore. And it's just been continual evolvement of trying to figure out like, where will the value go? Where will the money go? What is needed? I have very strong convictions. I vote with my money, right? And I don't try to get other people to do what I'm doing. I just do it for myself, for my family, to be right. So I vote with my money. And I've always been a dabbler, though. Even when I got into Decred, it was like, you know, you just put a little bit and then you just kept putting a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and suddenly you have quite a bit of Decred. You've put, you know, I have a humble plebe salary, as I've come to term it on Twitter. Very, very humble. And I say this just to say, over the last 18 months, I have found other projects that have suited my fancy. And when I created Staked Podcast, I mean, I came up with the name and the title and the graphics all before, like a year probably before I recorded the first episode, right? I did all the creative stuff first. That's what I like the most. And Staked, right? There was something about putting skin in the game, locking up your tokens. There was something about that that I just, it felt right. It felt fair. It felt like, you know, because of the security mechanism, if we're going to distribute newly minted coins, that those who are willing to lock up their coins, hello to the person who just joined, welcome. Those who are willing to lock up their coins and put that skin in the game and deed credits for an indefinite amount of time, right? Like, you don't know when you're going to be able to unstake. It felt like ownership. It felt like equity. It felt like being a part of a network versus being exploited by a network, right? And I started thinking about things like Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, where you have all these people contributing to these online networks, you know, creating value, making posts, posting photos, making videos. And all the value accrual was going to the corporations who were selling the attention of people going onto the platform, but they were not doing any of the creating that was making people come to the platform. So this immediately got me thinking about, how do you start rebalancing that? And no, I'm not about to start shilling Steemit or anything like that. No, DTube or anything like that. It's not where I'm going with this. But what it did start getting me to do is it got me thinking about, man, we hear so much about the inequality of wealth distribution, right? And the rich are getting richer. The poor aren't able to keep up because they don't have assets. It got me start thinking about the model of corporations and business entities and how the shareholders are the ones who, you know, get profits, but the employees, who are oftentimes nowadays not shareholders at all, are, you know, saying thank you for your time, and they're very dispensable. And so I started realizing, like, I don't know. I need to do a lot more research, but I do have this kind of understanding that when the corporation and shareholder model first began, it was created, like in legal speak, the idea was that employees would be able to benefit, right? And it would be kind of this bottom up. And you start thinking about whenever, I don't know what decade it was in, maybe it was the 50s or the 60s, when unions started coming and labor participation and this idea that we're all in this together and we're going to build something and we're going to distribute the profits amongst us. And Ayn Rand wrote about this too, right? She talks about, she didn't believe in this really. She thought, you know, that this was bad ethos. This is the sharing ethos. She thought it was bad. But because she believed in selfishness and individualism and not being worried about other people. And I'm saying all this because I'm starting to think that technology, networks, right? I think Steemit was a very good example. And it was the first and it had its issues, right? But I think that these things are going to get better. But the idea that the people who contribute to a network, the people who are actually working, are going to be the ones who not only receive equity, but then also become, eventually able to just get profit from that, from their equity, right? Cash, what's it? What they got? Dividends. There it is. And so I started thinking about this business model, and then I learned about this real estate brokerage called EXP. And for those of you who know about real estate in the United States, I can't speak about anywhere else, but in the United States, you know that it's got to be one of the most fucked up industries, just in terms of how power flows. That and law, honestly, because essentially the way the business model works is You have the people at the top, which is usually partners, shareholders of a brokerage or a law firm. And underneath them, you probably have like a junior level, people who have maybe a little bit of stake ownership, maybe not, but they may have some sort of benefits, or I don't know. There's usually like a middle tier, the management level. And then underneath them, you have the associates or the in real estate, the salesmen, the realtors. And your brokerage takes a cut. Like your brokerage in your law firm, I mean, in law, you don't get a cut as an, when you're an associate, it's like all the profits just going to the top. You're doing the work. And then they're just, taking in the money, making the business deals. And they do stuff, obviously, right? They attract business. They usually have a lot more knowledge of the law because they've been doing it a lot longer. And in real estate, really, they're just taking a cut. Like, the agents are going out there, marketing themselves, drumming up business, creating those relationships underneath the brokerage name. And that money, it used to be very perverted. It used to be like 50-50 split. So I want to talk about EXP real quick, because EXP was just like kind of the first example of where I realized that this thing, these business models are really about to really be shaken up, right? Because EXP, they created this new brokerage model where essentially you have an 80-20 split. It's fixed, like 80-20. 80% goes to the agent, 20% goes to the brokerage. But they also have like a share program where you, as you, you make a sale here, you hit this goal or here, and you start receiving equity in EXP in the form of shares, which trade on the NASDAQ. So you start getting equity in the company. And then they have a revenue sharing model as well, where as you attract new agents into the brokerage, you get some of the revenue that those agents create, and it goes down. Like, I attract an agent and he attracts an agent. Well, I'm going to get a cut of the agent I attracted and the agent he attracted or she attracted. You get a portion of that, the revenue from their sales. It doesn't come from that agent's 80%. It comes from the 20% that goes to the brokerage. So you just start realizing like, man, there are business models now where the salesmen are the partners, essentially. They not only get share dividend through the share. Mools, answering your question in the live stream here. The way it works is the shared like the revenue share is not through the shares. It's totally separate. It's just through the sales of those agents. Your shares are just, there to increase in value as EXP goes up, and just a way for you to have ownership. So it becomes a lot more distributed, and the revenue sharing becomes a lot more egalitarian. But really what happens is that the people who are building the network are the ones who are starting to profit. And so Steemit was this really interesting example of this, where you had content creators, they post something on the line, and based on the upvotes and the downvotes, 60% of the rewards would go to the content creator, 40% would go to the people who had engaged with the content, something like that. And you got ownership of Steemit, which was like kind of like this equity and also like this pseudo money thing, because it would also, I'm not going to really get into the details there, but so Steemit was this very interesting example. And as I've watched this crypto space evolve, right, you start to see more examples of this. And there really was a turning point with me. Staking, right? Being staked, having skin in the game, being an owner of something and being willing to lock it up. YFI, Yearn Finance. You've heard me talk about this one before. Really was this aha moment, not just because of the distribution mechanism, which was revolutionary, I guess to say at least, because those who were participating in the system are the ones who received the initial distribution of the equity, right? But you started creating this financial institution that exists in the metaverse, right? Exists only in online and ones and zeros. And really what this YFI is, in my opinion, it's a credit union of sorts, you know, because it's a credit union in the same sense that credit unions exist to serve the people who use them. The people who are using the service, ideally, they're not there to like make money, right? The credit union is supposed to try to help you reach your financial goals. And they do this by the profits and the money they make. They try to give you lower fees. They try to give you better rates on your insurance and your mortgage and healthcare, et cetera, right? And so I started seeing YFI as like this weird credit union hedge fund type of thing. And I really liked the way the incentives were aligned, because anyone could go and, you know, create a yield farming proposal, and the YFI holders would vote on whether to adopt that strategy. And if it was implemented, the person who came up with the strategy gets a cut, YFI gets a cut, and there's fees that are generated from using the YFI system, and those fees get fed back to the people who own YFI. And you know, they've done different things like create a pool of money so that they can attract developers, so that they can, you know, pay content creators, so that they can, you know, get audits, these different things. And you start exploring this space more and more. And I'm going to talk about basically, so here's the punchline, right? Staked Podcast is kind of taking a shift. And Decred will always be at the heart of what we talk about. I'll always give the DCR stats in the beginning, because I do see Decred as like this foundational protocol right there next to Bitcoin. And I could be wrong, you know, but I don't think I am. And there's other very, very cool projects that are starting to emerge in this space and that have emerged already and have been operating. I think another one to kind of give a shout out to is MakerDAO, right? Where you have a group of people who are creating synthetic dollars, essentially, and creating pegged assets. Synthetics is another example, right? It's the exact kind of same idea. Well, recently, I've made some changes in my portfolio. I've started to acquire some new tokens. I've started staking. Interestingly, I actually don't even stake Decred yet, because I don't own enough to buy a ticket. But I have started staking some other things, which I'm going to get into here in a bit. But I want Staked Podcast not just to be a place of only talking about Decred, but I want it to be a place where I can explore these ideas and these new corporations and these new protocols, and you know, talk to whoever I want in the space about all these things that interest me. And that being said, it's also a time to kind of announce that I've been in conversations with a couple people in the Decred community about taking over Decred in depth. So still having a podcast where I just focus on Decred, right? And so within the next couple of weeks, you'll see a proposal from me before the end of 2020. Hopefully that'll be up on Politea, and hopefully it's approved, and I'll continue to have an outlet where I just focus on Decred. But I do want Staked to kind of start exploring new ideas and new projects. And I think this is going to be very beneficial to Decred, because look, there's a wider ecosystem out here that's evolving, and people need to know about Decred. But people need to be integrated. Decred needs to be able to integrate with these other protocols. and these other communities, and we all get stronger together. And so I do want to talk about some of the protocols and projects that I've been looking at and thinking about and why. And I'm not going to go super in depth with these things because most of them I'm still learning, right? But why I find them interesting. The first one is Wi-Fi. I've mentioned that before. I'm not going to hammer this one too hard. I just think that the yield farming, leverage, very well aligned incentives, I think there's something very magical there. So year in finances is one of these things I've started to invest in. Another one is Dot. Gavin Wood, which Checkmate has often talked about. You know, he thinks that the proof of stake model is broken, and I kind of understand some of the arguments there, but I'm not able to articulate exactly why I like Dot, because I've looked at other things too. I've looked at I've looked at Atom, I've looked at Qtum, I've looked at even Ethereum with their now 2.0. A lot of Tezos, a lot of different pure proof of stake things. But Dot has done something I think very, very interesting. Polkadot. I've also been a longtime investor in Mana and Decentraland, which is eventually moving to a DAO structure. And I think that staked in DAOs kind of have like, there's a lot of, I don't know if it's like synergy is the word or if it's like almost kind of actually the same thing. Like, I think that staking like necessitates or leads to DAOs. Like they're very, very much integrated. The idea of these two things, staking and DAOs. Excuse me. And so I'm still trying to flesh out a lot of my thoughts but I think that this is the future of work, honestly, where essentially people are going to be rewarded in equity that they'll be able to use to lock up and vote and participate in public forums and govern corporations and do so in a more fair and open way that rewards the users of the businesses and of the protocols. I think that's the future. Numeray is another one I think is very interesting. They market themselves as the hedge fund to end all hedge funds, but really what they're doing is they're crowdsourcing a data tournament using cryptocurrency, because you have to lock up, right? So essentially they give out data, hedge fund data that is obfuscated, and you can put your own machine learning algorithms to this data, submit your algorithm, and they're taking all these algorithms and then applying a meta model to it. And you lock up in NMR, Numeray, their cryptocurrency, based off of how much you believe in your own model. And you get rewarded proportionately, or you get your NMR burned, for being wrong. They've done this new thing called Signals, which I think is really interesting. But Numeray is another one. Trying to think. Cream Finance, I extremely speculative. I just like a lot of the integration. I like a lot of the projects that have been integrating with Wi-Fi because I think there's like this huge ecosystem that's like all being integrated together with Cover Protocol and SushiSwap and Hedgic, and I can't figure it all out, but I can tell that there's a mass in Keeper. I believe in and I've talked about this before, investing in entrepreneurs, finding the jockey, not the horse. Sometimes it's the jockey, and I really like Andre. Yeah, so Cream talked about Mana. I have not mentioned. I do own some rep, which I that's from like a long time ago, and really have not done anything with it. Mantra DAO, something being built on top of Polkadot. I own a little bit of Aave. What else? Sushi. I stake my sushi. I stake my cream, and I stake my Hedrick. Hedrick is this new open options, non-KYC, non-AML protocol, and and Molly Wintermut. It's kind of the same vibes with Andre Crone. Like these are builders. These are people who've got something to fucking prove, and I love that. And yeah, so that's kind of where my portfolio's been distributed. I own other things I haven't mentioned, which if the people are curious, Ethereum Classic, Funfair. I'm reading these just to make sure I don't miss anything. Maker. Yeah, that's it. That's basically it. And so I'm not saying this to say, hey guys, go buy what I own. I'm saying this in the interest of full disclosure, and also because I want you guys to kind of know what projects I'm interested in, because it'll give you a hint as to the type of people I hope to bring on Staked Podcast in the future. And just to learn from people is the ultimate goal. But yes, we will always stay Decred focused here on Staked Podcast. We will always stay Decred focused, because that was how it all started for me, honestly. And it's a great protocol. It's a great mechanism for saving wealth, preserving wealth, taking back your sovereignty, taking back your privacy, eliminating rent seeking. I love Decred, and it's again, it's my second largest holding, so have an economic incentive to continue to talk about it too. Thank you guys for listening. If you've made it this far, if you're watching this, if you've been part of Stake Journey so far, it means a lot to me, honestly. Like more than you guys know. I know that people listen to this regularly all across the globe. I look at the stats on Anchor, and it amazes me. And I love that people are listening and learning and wanting to hear some of these things and peek in on these conversations. And I hope to just continue to bring high quality guests on, share with you guys my thoughts. If you haven't already, go find us on YouTube. When I do these lives, I do it on my personal YouTube, and then it goes on to the Staked YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, dislike, give me 5-star rating. Share this with your friends, all those things, guys. It's free, and it helps so much. So, Adam tips always appreciated. Adam tips in the description. I'm gonna go get a dot ETH. I'm gonna go get an ENS here soon, because I want to start being able to accept tips and in other Ethereum based assets, along with my Decred tips as well. So be sharing that soon. But yeah, stay staked out there, dorks, Chads, Degens, and Stacies, anyone who's listening. Thank you very much. See you in the next episode. Peace.